Good evening, and welcome to The Talking Show on K Chung Radio, Chinatown's only microbroadcasting radio solution.
That's right.
I'm Nicholas Miller, here every Wednesday night, actually every Thursday morning.
Every Thursday morning.
With my tireless co-host of many years. A friendship spanning even longer, Steve Cato.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm also really, really good. I just saw an amazing piece.
Where?
At Chin's Push in Highland Park.
Oh.
This guy, Jack Levinson, who's like only 23, made this script. It's like a film script.
Ooh.
About Los Angeles and marketing, cultural marketing culture in 2006.
Excellent.
Which is an era that for someone his age, he could barely remember.
He was 17 or something?
He was less than that.
Oh, right. No, that's almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, he was like 12. And
well, yeah, I mean, people do research though, right?
I mean, I'm not shorting him on anything. I'm not.
Right.
But
he didn't intuit history.
Yeah, he didn't invent all these crazy details or anything like that for sure. But
yeah.
It was really something else. It was a really nice style event as
okay.
well. It was a dinner, and everyone had a script.
Okay.
And so when the character, who also has no specific lead, there was a large ensemble cast, a looping ensemble cast. There were very few male characters. So everyone at this event where they're eating and there's eating and drinking is like reading some of the characters and having these interactions. It was really great. It was like one of the most gentle and amazing exit points out of like the prisons of performance art I've seen in a long time. It was done in an entirely intuitive way, and in content as well as form, i.e. like a film script, it was perfect for the Los Angelino context.
Great.
Yeah, it was really good. It's not often that I come into the show raving about something, but I had a really great time.
Well, didn't you also take a field trip last weekend that you've been raving about?
Oh, God, yeah. I went to Pomona, to the DARPA DRC.
Oh, man.
I guess that's redundant. Sorry, it's the DRC.
The DRC.
Which is the DARPA Robotics Challenge.
Right. Librea Tarpitz.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, so I watched some of the YouTube bits. I guess the video you sent me has gone viral, as they say.
Oh, the robot's falling down?
Yeah, because I noticed I sent it to a few people that showed it to me, and they were all very excited. And then I sent it to a few more people today, and they had all already seen it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it was very popular on social media even before I showed it to you.
Oh, goodness. In fact, my brother, who is visiting...
Boo Bear.
Boo Bear was in contact with someone in San Diego who runs a tech accelerator that's focused on robotics.
Of course.
And he sent it to her, and her response immediately, she rattled back immediately, soon enough they'll be laughing at us. So... she has a lot of faith in their acceleration process down there in San Diego.
You know, here's the thing. I don't think there's a lot of future for humanoid form.
Yeah.
I think we might have topped out. I think we might have perfected this four-limb, one-head approach.
And in a lot of ways, it's not so good.
There's a lot wrong with the model.
We can't run that fast.
Well, balance is an issue.
Look at their fast runners, though. Not all four legs.
For the audience back home, I'm nodding. You can tell maybe from the sounds in the studio, there's quite a crowd here. We have a large ensemble here in the studio.
There's an enormous amount of people because we have a group. We've done this a few times before, with the help of our very technical crew. But this is one of the larger groups we've had on the air. I think we'll probably just go ahead and get started introducing... the cast, the mighty cast of KGIL.
KGIL.
1260. From the San Fernando Valley, a radio station that, as far as I know, no longer exists. But they've all gathered back tonight to relive what has become an extremely topical subject in Hollywood. They're going to reenact for us their entire coverage of the February 9th, 1971 earthquake, which was an enormous earthquake that I think centered in Santa Clarita Valley, but had an enormous effect on the San Fernando Valley. In fact, it has now been called the San Fernando Valley's longest day.
Indeed.
So I'm going to go ahead and introduce everyone. We've got a big crew here, so bear with me. We have Jim Martin, Frank Bingman, Howard Culver, Dick Spangler, Stan Brown, Bruce Payne, Chuck Southcott, and Bill Smith. And they are the crew of KGIL.
And the Temblers keep coming. We've already been on the air. We've had several of them. One of them was rather severe. Interstate 5, which is the Golden State Freeway, is closed between Los Angeles and Bakersfield. Now we have reports from farther out from the area. The quake was felt 200 miles to the north at Fresno, 130 miles south to the Mexican border. Power blackouts were reported in Ventura and Orange counties, as well as in the Los Angeles area. The University of California at Berkeley now says the quake had a magnitude on the Richter scale of 6.5 and was centered in the Newhall area. Now, Bill Smith in Mobile 8-4 is out there, and he has this report, Bill.
Jim, I'm still at the Veterans Hospital in San Fernando, and I just talked with Chief Renfro of the Los Angeles Fire Department, Assistant Chief Renfro, and he says that there are still many patients, perhaps as many as 60, trapped inside this building. He says they're bringing them out two or three at a time, and it will be quite a while yet before they have a chance to see just how seriously injured the people were inside the building. So far, we have no word of fatalities. We do hope it stays that way. The Assistant Chief had hoped to get away and talk with us on the radio for a moment, but the situation is so busy up here that so far he has not had a chance. I have another chief now. Chief, can you step into the car for a moment? This is Chief Long from the Los Angeles Fire Department. Chief, would you give us on KGIL News an assessment of what has happened here at the Veterans Hospital in San Fernando?
Well, briefly, we've had several structures collapse, some of them quite large in size. We have many people trapped. We don't know exactly how many. We've freed some already, and we're in the process of freeing others.
Chief Long, two questions here. One, how many buildings have collapsed? I see this large one in front of us. How many buildings, and are there any reports of fatalities at this moment?
Yes, we have at least one fatality, and there are... I know of three structures that have collapsed. One of them is quite large in size. We estimate it could cover an area of approximately 2 acres.
Okay, Bill, you will stay on the scene there.
KLS 328, this is KL7600.
Bill, you will stay on the scene there.
I'll be right here. I won't go anywhere.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Bill. And now, Frank Bingman.
Yeah, I have the seismological laboratory here, and I'm talking to a young lady over there, and I've asked her to indicate to me if she knows the magnitude of this quake. Do you have any figures on that? I know originally your instruments were rather knocked off scale.
Right, they were. However, we have a reading from the National Ocean Survey in Washington, and they were far enough away that they could get a better reading. They estimate it at 6.5.
At 6.5. Yes. Now, that's a rather severe earthquake.
Skywatch is standing by now, so let's go to him and find out what's happening. Colonel Bruce, what's the story?
We have some problems on the Golden State Sill because of ruptured pavement and collapsed bridges. As I've looked over the area a little more carefully, I can see that several spans have collapsed in the new construction area. And right now we have Mobile 74 going over to all of you to appraise the situation there, and we'll be hearing from Mobile 74 before too long. Tell me, Skywatch, clear.
Is 74, by the way... within earshot, and can you say anything at this moment, 7-4?
Well, this is 7-4, Jim. We're on our way to Olive View Hospital in Selma. We have word of some major destruction there. We'll get the specific information as soon as we reach the scene. I put us about 2 minutes away from that area right now. Chuck Sopcott, 7-4, clear.
All right, we have Dick Spangler in Mobile 8-3 standing by. Dick?
Yes, I'm here at the edge of Van Norman Lake. The lower Van Norman Dam area is in a position that it is overflowing. It's coming up at a very high level. With me here overlooking the dam area is Councilman Robert Wilkinson. Councilman, how do you assess the situation?
Well, they are lowering the lake as quickly as possible through the bypasses in the flood control channels. We caution, we'd like to have everybody stay home, stay off the streets, stay out of the north area of the San Fernando Valley.
From the scene, Dick Spangler, Mobile 83, clear.
We have on the phone Dick Friend, who is spokesman for the Los Angeles County Fire Department. Dick, can you give us sort of a roundup of what you know so far?
Jim, apparently the biggest problem area is at Olive View Hospital there in the San Fernando Valley. Report from Battalion Chief George Rummage, who is there with County Firemen assisting hospital personnel, said there is widespread destruction.
We have Bill Smith in Mobile 8-4. He's standing by at the scene of another bad situation. Bill?
Jim, I'm still at the Veterans Hospital in San Fernando. Before I hit this story, just picked it up over the police radio, and maybe you've not used it yet, but they are once again calling for an evacuation in the Van Norman Lakes area. So according to the police radio moments ago, the evacuation is now on again in the Van Norman Reservoir area of the North San Fernando Valley. Jim, this is a very tragic scene up here, and I'm sure that the death toll will go higher than the one confirmed fatality, because as I was climbing through the wreckage, we found one other person who had been killed in the tumble of the building, a person underneath that person who was still alive. Many of the press people up here, by the way, are behaving very admirably. They are assisting the people in the rescue, helping to move heavy pieces of building.
Thank you very much, Bill, and for those listeners who didn't feel that, we just had another one, baby. It just rolled through.
I have with me Joe Heavey. He's the acting director of the hospital. Joe, would you describe to us what has happened so far here?
At this particular time, we have two patient buildings that have been completely destroyed. The LA Fire Department, other volunteers from the community, our own employees are breaking through the roof in an attempt to find patients and employees that are obviously in there.
Chuck Southcott in Mobile 7-4, are you there?
All right, Jim, well, we're at Olive View now. We are looking at Olive View Hospital. The scene is pretty dismal. As a matter of fact, two sections of the building have completely toppled over, and they actually buried themselves into the ground. The rest of the building is buckled pretty well, especially the ground floor itself. The main building itself, the major building, is still standing. It looks all right, except it does seem to have a curvature to it that I'm sure it didn't have last night.
Now let's go to Colonel Bruce Payne. He's in Valley Skywatch. Bruce?
We're still making surveillance of the entire area. Hardest hit, at least, that particular area is the North Central Valley. The water is slowly receding, going down in Sepulveda Dam, also known as Van Norman Lakes, the lower reservoir. But it's still a very touchy situation with very little earthen fill left to be washed away, and the wind velocity isn't helping things either. It's about 25 knots on the ground, as high as 30 to 40 at 2,000 feet and up, and giving us a lot of problems flying around here. The helicopters are bouncing around like wood chips on heavy seas. The Highway 99 is closed and will be for some time to come, of course, with tons and tons of concrete having fallen down from the overcrossings or the bridge spans going across in the new construction area. KGIL Valley Skywatch, clear.
We have in the studio Stan Brown, who lives in the Granada Hills area, and he was just up to his home and back and had a few experiences along the way. Stan?
By driving from the KGIL studios here on Lassen Street to Granada Hills, we're west of Balboa, and driving in that area, it's very noticeable that many people lost walls, some of the chimneys are down, a lot of water problems up there, and sporadic fires. And so, of course, the first thing the people were doing this morning, getting the gas turned off. And it's also, you cannot get a car into the area unless you live up there. Picked up two workmen. One man was working on an all-night construction project. He has five children in Saugus, and he was hitchhiking his way, and people were helping out. There's one home in the Granada Hills area I've noticed for the past year. The man has been doing the cement work on the outside completely himself. Usually you'll have construction people do this, and a very attractive-looking chimney he put up, and he's worked there Saturdays and Sundays in the hot summertime. You see him out there, and I noticed as I drove by that home today, that chimney was down.
We have Bill Smith in Mobile 8-4 standing by at the VA hospital, the San Fernando VA hospital, which is in Sylmar. Bill, what's the latest word?
Jim, I have an update here, and I think the first thing we should do is to try to reassure families of patients who might be up here at the hospital about the only way we can do that is say that the total patients here are about 400 patients. Now, of those 400, 200 have already been evacuated to other areas where they can be cared for more properly, and 70 people are in the trapped buildings, the buildings that have fallen. 70 people are trapped inside those, 12 of those rescued. So of the 400 total patients up here, about 70 are involved in this disaster, and while this is not much of a numbers game, it may be of some comfort to the people who have family members up here, and that the odds are about 3-1 that someone you know was not involved. I know those are not much odds, but maybe they will help someone at least to get through this terrible tragedy here at the Veterans Hospital in Sylmar.
Frank St. Dennis from the Hospital Council says that the VA hospital in San Fernando, in Sylmar, is in need of surgeons and physicians. In need of surgeons and physicians. Dick Spangler has been out on the scene of the Van Norman Lakes Dam, where there has been a great deal of apprehension. Dick, what's the story?
Jim, I've just come back from that area. The spectators in the hundreds are lining and watching both sides of the hills adjacent to the lower Van Norman Dam. The situation is apparently no longer critical. What that really means is the dam will probably not break. The some 440 million gallons of water is successfully now being drained out. And I got the encouraging word from the Van Norman Lakes area from city engineer Jay Wool.
We have no water coming through anywhere at this time. We've got about 6 foot of freeboard up there at this time. We're draining this reservoir just as fast as we possibly can. You'll see water running everywhere. Nothing to worry about from that standpoint. Also, we have cut off all the water coming in.
We've received word that the Red Cross has opened two shelters in the San Fernando Valley. First in the Granada Hills area at Granada High, which is at 10535 Zelza Avenue. The other is at San Fernando Park at Jesse and Truman Avenues. Two Red Cross shelters opened in the North Valley. Bill Smith in Mobile 8-4. Bill?
Yes, Jim. Again, up here at the Veterans Hospital, San Fernando Veterans Hospital in Sylmar, where some 70 patients have been trapped inside two buildings which have come down. And it's about time for some good news to this tragic story, which includes four deaths. The good news is I have one of the survivors here with me in the car right now. Norman Wood was in the building when it collapsed. He and the other people in his room did get out. Norman Wood is in good shape, and we'd like to have his account of just what happened when the earthquake struck. Norman, what was happening inside that hospital?
Well, I could feel myself being thrown around. I was thrown out of bed, and I realized what was happening, fortunately, and I tried to get under the bed, but I was being thrown around, so I couldn't, so I was laying on the floor by a nightstand. The ceiling by this time had collapsed, and was only, I could lay on the floor and touch it with my hand. I heard very little from the other patients right at the time. The fellow next to me, I spoke to him, and he said he was all right. So we started trying to crawl out through a small hole that was under the beam of the roof. We got out within a few minutes, and I looked around. The beam had fallen right across my bed and across his bed next to me. We worked for about an hour or so there, and we got all of the fellows out of this room I was in. None of them were seriously injured, but we took a little bit longer, and one of the fellows in the room next door to me was had a back injury. We finally got him out with the aid of the firemen, and they're still up there working on the rest of them.
This is a alert information message regarding the San Fernando Valley. Police Department reports that all water in the San Fernando Valley and the city of San Fernando is contaminated, and citizens are advised to boil their drinking water.
Just repeat that in case it was a little garbled. I'm sure you understood it, though. All water in the San Fernando Valley and the city of San Fernando in particular is contaminated. Any water that you use should be boiled in advance of that usage.
Chuck Southcott at the mayor's office, city of San Fernando.
I took a tour with our fire chief and our city attorney
up through the northwest section of the city of San Fernando, and we've got serious damage both in the streets and the homes. Some of them I checked personally, I'm sure, are completely total losses.
Chuck Southcott at the mayor's office, city of San Fernando, mobile 7-4, clear.
This is Officer Gillis, the West Valley office of the California Highway Patrol, advising KGIL listeners that the San Diego Freeway northbound, all traffic will be stopped at Nordoff. And for those traveling southbound on the San Diego Freeway from the dam area to Victory, the off-ramps will be closed. If you're traveling southbound from the dam area, you'll have to go south beyond Victory to get off on the off-ramps.
And that was Officer Gillis of the California Highway Patrol with his information on the San Diego Freeway off-ramp closures. Actually, there's no point in going north on the San Diego Freeway at the point past of which it is closed anyway, because there's no place to go to once you get to the Golden State Freeway.
Upon advice of engineers, the Los Angeles Police Department directs immediate evacuation of all persons from the area to the south of Van Norman Reservoir. The area affected is bounded by Van Norman Dam on the north, Victory Boulevard on the south, San Diego Freeway on the east, Balboa on the west.
Back here at KGIL News, it would appear that Bill Smith in Mobile 8-4 has survived the blackout, the temporary power failure we had.
Yes, Howard. Earlier today, we did notice that throughout the city of San Fernando, especially along the beautiful mall area, there has been considerable damage to many of the stores. Some of the walls have caved in. Many have lost large plate glass windows. And some of these older buildings in the San Fernando area have had structural damage along the tops, where the tops and the roofs have broken off and fallen down into the sidewalks. So it is definitely not a happy situation in the San Fernando Mall area. There are many, many San Fernando and LAPD police officers in this area. Of course, they're guarding against potential looters, or there have been looters reported throughout the damaged areas. Of course, KGIL listeners themselves are not looters, but if we have listeners, people tuned to us now who might have that in the back of their minds, as we've said before and we'll say again, it's not a good idea. Not only is it no way to behave in the midst of a tragedy, but that color TV or that large couch or refrigerator that you might try to get away with could just end up costing you a bullet, and that's a pretty high price to pay. Bill Smith in the city of San Fernando, mobile 8-4 clear.
There's a young man in the studio who has a problem. It seems that his parents took off from the evacuation area, and he's here and there somewhere else. What's your name, son?
Dennis Graham.
Dennis Graham, and where do you live?
9758 Monogram.
In what city, what community is that?
Sepulveda.
Sepulveda. And where do you think your parents might be now?
In Simi Valley.
On their way or there now, would you say?
There now.
Well, if they're listening or if anyone knows where they are, you can say that Dennis is safe and sound here at KGIL, and you can pick him up here. That's Dennis Graham. His parents are in Simi Valley. They took off, and he's here. Dennis, you hang tight. Everything will be all right, okay?
It's 74 degrees at KGIL News. Let's go right to the skies and find out what's going on from a bird's eye view or the colonel's eye view. It's Bruce Payne flying KGIL's Valley Skywatch.
For the most part, we have no problems on the freeways. Most traffic is lighter than normal, except on the San Diego Freeway. That's heavier than usual from Mulholland down to the Ventura Freeway because of the closure of the San Diego Freeway northbound all the way up through Newhall Pass.
Dick Spangler in Mobile 8-3. Dick?
Howard, I'm at the Odyssey restaurant overlooking the Van Norman Lakes. This is where the earthen dam is still steeped and seeped with mud. Although the situation seems to be static, it remains stable at the moment. I'm talking to Inspector Dan Jelly of the Los Angeles City Fire Department. Are there any serious problems in the San Fernando Valley tonight? I understand you have many water and power breakdowns around the area.
This is correct. A lot of the area will be without power, it'll be without water, and it'll also be without gas.
Other things went on around the world as Southern California struggled through the results of a severe earthquake. The Apollo 14 astronaut splashed down on target in the South Pacific this afternoon, ending man's boldest and most scientifically rewarding moon mission. And we've just been informed that Bill Smith in Mobile 8-4 is out there again, ready for another report. What's going on, Bill?
Howard, the power failure which put KGIL off the air for a while is still in effect in the San Fernando and Silmar area. And, of course, what that means primarily to our listeners who are driving is that the traffic signals in this area are out. So if you're in the San Fernando or Silmar area, be very careful. Now, I notice that there are LAPD officers attempting to direct traffic at most of these major intersections where the traffic signals are out. However, this is one of those times when the dark blue uniforms of the police officers are a bit of a problem. They're very hard to see. The officers have flashlights, so we urge people driving in San Fernando and Silmar to be very careful as they enter such areas as the major intersections which have no lights. Watch out for the police officers. They have flashlights. They're standing in the middle, but those dark uniforms are hard to see, so be very careful.
Dick Spangler is out there in the field in Mobile 8-3, ready with another report. Dick?
Thank you very much, Howard. I'm talking to Division Commander Bob Radke, and he's about ready to call it a day after a long, hard day with the Los Angeles City Fire Department. Bob, what kind of a day has it been for you?
Well, it's been a rough day for all of us. We're still in a standby status. We're still watching the face and back of this dam carefully. We are going to stand by all night long. We will have a helicopter unit with lights on the scene. We have our command post in operation. As the day has worn on, the situation has looked better and better. I cannot speak for the power department or the water department, but from a fire standpoint, it looks real good at this time.
A spokesman for the Los Angeles City School District says all classes tomorrow have been canceled. And repeating the word that we have been giving out this afternoon, San Fernando Valley State College will be closed to students and the public for 1 week.
If I may put my heart out on my sleeve for about 30 seconds, and then we'll get back to these announcements. I was standing out in the backyard of some friends of mine in Huntington Park, and I just looked skyward and said, thank you, because I'm still here, and get a chance to continue this wonderful life. But I felt so insignificantly small, and thought of those three guys coming back from the moon, and how looking at the globe from, 100,000 miles out, the moon a quarter of a million miles away, this beautiful round blob sits here. And here in one little corner, we had this shakeup, and here are 9 million people who all got awakened at the same instant this morning, I'm sure. You feel kind of small. Bill, come in, please.
Thank you, Tom. A few moments ago, I had a chat with one of the sheriff's information officers up here at the San Fernando Hospital. We filled you in on some details, and I've now had time to walk around this scene and get a good eye view of it, and I'd like to tell you a bit about it now. It's really a tremendously tragic scene here. I've walked among the wreckage and the rubble. It looks almost as if it's a bombed-out German village from World War II. There's no power here, so these big floodlights from a California emergency organization are giving the firemen and the sheriff's people light by which they can continue their rescue efforts. They're using jackhammers to cut their way through the roofs and walls which have fallen down onto these hospital wards, and it's a very slow process. It looks like it will take at least all night. It may take even much of tomorrow. Seems to be almost an insurmountable task. So far, 14 people have been dead, and I can't help but think as I look at it that most of the 50 who are still inside probably did not survive. These were three-story buildings. They collapsed all the way to the ground. The walls on the outsides fell inward toward the center of the building, so every ounce of the building fell inside on those people. A very tragic scene, and I don't imagine that the 50 people inside, too many of those will come out alive. Of course, we hope they all do, but it almost seems as if we're asking too much. These numbers, 50 people trapped inside, of course, accurate numbers are impossible because nobody has an exact count of who was where, who might have been walking around when the earthquake struck, how many employees were in which building. It's been a very meticulous thing. It will just take a long time to iron it out, but it's definitely a tragic scene here at the San Fernando Veterans Hospital up in the hills of Silmar. Of course, no one can really deserve this kind of disaster to fall upon them, but it seems that these veterans, men who have injured themselves in the service of their country and gone through quite a bit of ordeal already, it seems that these veterans perhaps deserve it even less. Below us now, because we're up on a hill overlooking the valley, most of the valley shining bright and clear in the night, except the city of San Fernando. Power blackout still in effect down there. The city of San Fernando is dark, almost in tribute to those who've died up here today. This is Bill Smith, Mobile 8-4 clear.
Dick Spangler in Mobile 8-3.
So what's the situation tonight? I see we have no lights as we're looking over the broken dam area.
Well, we have a man down on the dam face itself with a radio-equipped car and a field telephone. He's a volunteer, incidentally, and he would, of course, give us the first warning that we would need.
That's Division Fire Chief Bob Radke, and the situation is stable here as we look at the broken dam overlooking the area from the Odyssey restaurant. And from the scene, Dick Spangler, Mobile 83 clear.
Thank you, Dick, for that live report. We have been noticing the past hour several aftershocks rocking our radio station here in the San Fernando Valley.
I won't presume to tell you about my troubles, because I know you have troubles and we're all digging out. You've worked hard all day, haven't you? Trying to find glass to repair windows, trying to find drinking water, maybe even buying filters for your plumbing. You have surveyed the damage, cracks in the chimneys. Your prized china that is no more. And you've been in contact with everyone to whom you are close. And hopefully you've been listening to KGIL, because this station is doing one hell of a job in keeping you informed just as soon as any development occurs, and they will throughout the night. Of that I can assure you. Just to be sure, I went out and bought more transistor batteries for my radio so I could stay in. Right on KGIL, Bill Smith and Southcott and Spangler and Culver and all the rest who have been keeping you informed. What we shall do is provide some background music tonight. And of course, for those of you who have lost a relative or a friend, our condolence. Really is no way to talk about the finite properties of man until something like this comes along, and then we are all made so aware of the infinitesimal wisp of smoke our lives really are. Good news about the dam. Hopefully that will hold until they can drain the balance of the water off. From KGIL 1260, news of import, broadcast throughout the night. We invite you to stay tuned. We'll give you places where you may go for protection, where you may go for food. Stay tuned. KGIL 1260.
The death toll remains indefinite, although the latest figures indicate that there have been at least 30 fatalities attributable to the quake. 9 persons are said to have suffered heart attacks. The other 21 persons were victims of the quake's physical manifestations. And our Bill Smith has been out in the field looking at some of those physical manifestations, and he's here now in the studio with us. Bill, can you talk a little bit about what you've seen today?
Howard, it's been a rather incredible day driving around the valley, checking out this earthquake scene and looking at all of the devastation. I think the saddest thing that we've seen today is up at the two veterans hospitals, the Olive View Hospital and then over at the San Fernando Veterans Hospital, which is in the hills above Sylmar. Those people up there really went through hell this morning at 6 o'clock. 3 of the buildings collapsed completely. They killed, so far, at least 14 people. There are some 50 people still inside, and as I stood there about 15 or 20 minutes ago, looking at the big, powerful emergency lights which are shining on that wreckage, it's an eerie thought to think that there are still 50 human beings beneath all that debris, and I think looking at the size of the debris, we probably won't get too many of them out alive. It's a
now, Bill, this building that you're referring to at this point is which one of the two?
Well, this is in the San Fernando Veterans Hospital, which is a slight misnomer because the hospital's actually in Sylmar, high in the hills above Sylmar. The San Fernando Hospital, now, I have not been over over to the other hospital. Chuck Southcott was over there. He said the situation was nearly as bad at the Olive View Hospital. It will be an all-night rescue effort. They're digging. It's a very courageous thing, and I think, Howard, newsmen tend to get too matter-of-fact once in a while, and they don't allow themselves to see into the real human drama. And right now, everybody's pitching in. It's quite an emotional scene. They're all working as hard as they can. They'll be working there all night. And I noticed that in a tragedy of this sort, all of a sudden, the races seem to disappear. You don't see black people and white people and Chicanos and Orientals. You don't see that. All you see is people, and they're all working together with one common goal, and that one right now is to dig those people out from underneath that terrible wreckage. It's quite a scene.
You said earlier on the air from the scene that you expected the people who were buried, they estimate 50 there, to be fatalities rather than coming out alive. Is the building that flat?
It really is, Howard, and I think I based that assumption, and of course it's only my assessment of it, although most of the people up there are beginning to agree. I think I based that on two thoughts. One, most of the survivors so far, in fact all of them, have been taken from the top floor of that building. It was a three-story building. It fell inward, all three floors falling on top of each other. So in that top floor, which is about all they've rescued so far, about half of those people had not survived, and I just can't imagine underneath all of those tons that the people in the two floors below have survived. Of course, we hope that they do. What a wonderful miracle it would be, but I can't imagine that they did.
Okay, Bill, that's a very graphic picture that you've painted for us. I wonder if there is anything else in other areas other than the hospital areas that comes to mind now.
It does. We've been, all of the newsmen here, Dick Spangler has been on the go constantly, and Chuck Southcott, to Colonel Bruce put in about 10 flying hours today, and I think all of us have seen all of the areas of the valley, and I think really you notice the fact that people tend to cling together when they're in trouble, except for the looters, and that's an incredible situation. I just don't know what kind of a person it is who takes advantage of tragedy to further his own means, and the police told me that they have many people around who are attempting to loot. Of course, the police will not deal kindly with them. The policemen have said that they will not think twice about shooting people who are attempting to loot. So we hope that people will take that as a warning and not try to capitalize on this. We were over at the dam earlier, too. Spangler and I have been in and out of there. I watched that situation develop. I talked to a helicopter pilot, Bud Nelson, I believe, a fire department chopper pilot who'd been flying down low over the dam. He said when he first arrived on the scene and looked at the dam, he didn't think it would last another 20 minutes. However, they were able to pump the water out, to shore the thing up, to put some sandbags in there, and they're now confident, or at least hopeful, that they can get through the next 6 hours without the dam going.
And by that time, they should have sufficient water pumped out so that the danger will be eliminated completely.
Yeah, that's the hope. Howard, I said earlier on the air, and I think it might stand repeating, I think when the day is over, the tragedy will not be the dam, it will be the dam earthquake. We hope that the day is over soon.
February 9th, 1971. The San Fernando Valley's longest day, as reported by KGIL.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was simultaneously fascinating and terrifying.
Indeed. Are you prepared for an earthquake should one arise, Nicholas?
Well, actually, let me pull this up. I took lots of photographs today at our local Home Depot of a company called Quakehold.
Quakehold.
Yeah, which I guess is mostly geared toward or marketed towards small earthquakes, not like the San Fernando mm-hmm. one, because mm-hmm. it's all these different devices and adhesives to glue all of your things to the infrastructure of your home.
Oh, okay, so there's a wiggle.
Yeah, so I think an earthquake of that size probably wouldn't do so well, but
if the ceiling fell in.
Yeah, if the building fell over, I don't think the fact that your TV was adhered to the wall would make much of a difference.
Right.
Also, there's a weird assumption of home ownership, but I guess that's the whole conceit of Home Depot.
Yeah, Home Depot is for people who generally own their homes.
Yeah, that's true. When you walk around, you mostly see day laborers and contract laborers, but anyhow, I guess they're making people who own the home.
That's what I mean, yeah. They're not, it's not marketing to them per se either, it's right. to their employers.
There's a lot of advertising there today about Father's Day.
Yeah, you know, not so much advertising about Father's Day at the Mac cosmetics counter or...
or the Whole Foods.
The Whole Foods or Aesop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
So, I mean, I think the most striking thing about our gentlemen performing tonight was their tone, wouldn't you say?
Indeed. So, in evoking this bygone era, they did such an amazing job of capturing this entirely different approach to catastrophe in the media.
Yeah, what would it be like today? It would be like sports casting, right?
It's a lot like sports casting, yeah. Keeping you updated, right. The news you need to know.
Right.
The idea of like a man playing the organ.
To calm you down.
Yeah, because you would be so jittery and you know, relating things to you like, you know, should you need a place for shelter?
Who would be
Should
doing that
need
today?
To find food?
Would it be DJ Shadow or something?
Words of Canada.
Chill out.
Yeah.
You know, one similarity, despite the tone of voice, I think still today, if there was a disaster, we turn to the radio. Despite the fact that the moving image has totally dominated at this point in history, right? I mean, nobody...
It's a more robust technology.
Sure. But people don't go home at night and lay in bed with their laptops and listen to radio as much as they watch HBO Go.
You know what? Well, here's the thing. I think that another form of radio is supreme in some ways. It's like podcasting, especially in Los Angeles. Yeah. Like, people driving all the time. You go to the gym. Chances are you're listening to like a podcast or something like that.
Right.
I mean, we here at Kaechang are also far more available through the internet. I mean, I know that for a fact that our audience extends to Europe and places like that, and they experience this not as a live radio juggernaut that it is here in the Middle East side of Los Angeles, but you know, they experience it as a podcast essentially.
Yeah, I guess the point I was getting at is, so I worked for an NPR station for a time. I remember going to the board meetings, and there'd be all these conversations about how we get people to listen to these shows. And there seemed to be a real disconnect for me between the people that are programming this and the consciousness of the listeners. I think that radio is listened to out of convenience because you're in a situation where you need to be looking at something else.
Right.
Not because people are tuning in as they did back in the day when they would, you know, on Sunday nights, listen to their radio plays. But radio still maintains its place, I think, during disasters. Maybe if there was an earthquake today, maybe we'd be looking at our smartphones. But
we would initially, yeah. I think that would be my first impulse would be to check Twitter.
Yeah, I guess so. So maybe radio's falling away even in that respect.
I mean, certainly in terms of real-time traffic and transit information, which used to be another reason why you would listen to radio. You'd be driving home from work and you would turn on the radio to see which route home to avoid.
Right.
And now you would, if not consult a mapping product like Waze or Google Maps or something that's showing real-time traffic, you would check like traffic bulletins, Twitter thing and be like, oh, no way am I taking the 5 home tonight, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess when there's a tornado and you dive under the stairs, now you're bringing your smartphone, not your transistor radio.
Well, I think here's the thing. I think the transistor radio is a more robust technology than the iPhone. Like, you require the cell phone towers to be up. The cell phone towers have to be much more close to you for them to be of any use. So whereas a radio transmitter can be, you know, if the radio transmitter goes in the areas in radio blackout, but if the radio transmitter stays on the ground during the event, then the entire area has radio.
Yeah.
So, and radios are cheap. Every car has one. And if you have an emergency radio in your emergency package of water and flashlight batteries and things like that.
What's in your earthquake pack?
We don't have one.
You just grab the cat and run? You grab the cat and run?
We have no plan.
Not even grab the cat?
We talked about this. We have no plan. The cat doesn't want to be grabbed.
That's true. I've met that cat.
And that cat just wants to do its own thing.
So you let it go and you run.
Yeah. Open the door and hope that it comes to.
Yeah. Hmm. Well. Why do we love these catastrophes so much?
Dear listener, are you prepared for the earthquake?
You should be. If you go to your local Home Depot.
Buy your prepper bucket.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that, like, I think it's the classic procrastinating situation about the bucket. It's just too much to, like, you know, today, right now there's no earthquake, so I don't feel compelled to go assemble these products and put them in a safe place.
Sure. Yeah, I don't have one either. I think I'd be kind of screwed. I live on a hill.
You live on a hill? The house could just slide down?
Yeah. But in my imagination, it would slide intact.
I think it would remain largely intact.
Yeah.
Based on the way it looks to me, like, I think the concrete pad would basically sled down into your neighbor's yard.
Great. And then theirs would sled down. We just all end up in the parking zone.
Yeah.
Or on the two.
Yeah. You'd end up on the two.
Hmm. So have you seen the new disaster movie, San Andreas?
I have not yet, no.
But you're excited, I can tell.
I am excited about it. I love movies where LA gets destroyed.
Why is that?
I think it's the kind of thing that I wouldn't have even felt anything about before I lived here.
Yeah.
I think there's something about the hideousness of the Los Angeles, sort of the body of Los Angeles. It's like sheer obscenity that watching it get destroyed is unbelievably fascinating.
Hmm.
Did you see 2012?
Is a Gyllenhaal in it?
A Spacey is more prominent.
Huh. Is that the one where they're in the library in New York and it filling with water?
Perhaps. The main focus of the first third is a very wonderful CGI model of Los Angeles collapsing into the sea. The initial phase that happens is basically around Westwood. It breaks and then slides into the ocean.
Yeah.
Dividing neatly down the runway of Santa Monica Airport, which they make use of as, like, their... trying to fly, get the plane off the ground, and meanwhile the crack is opening up underneath the very airplane at Santa Monica Airport where they're taking off. And that big donut near the airport goes rolling through the streets.
They love doing that.
And gang members continue to shoot each other throughout the surface of LA, even though, like, the road is buckling underneath them and stuff. It's incredibly racist.
Well, that's...
I loved it.
That's the funny thing about all Hollywood disaster movies, that the symbolic order always stays intact, right?
Right. Well, except in San Andreas, where Dwayne Johnson is, he not like a Hawaiian man? He's an indigenous person.
He's a muscle.
He's an indigenous muscle.
I think in the symbolic order at this point, he signifies a giant muscle.
So, I mean, then that's your argument as to why Schwarzenegger wasn't weird, because he wasn't just... his, like...
Yeah, you could just ignore Austrian his accent. Yeah. Forget about it. He's just a muscle. I mean, one dimension of his being outweighs some of the other ones.
Uh-huh. That's depressing.
Yeah. Well, if only we were more perceptive as people.
I was thinking Obama in the White House and Dwayne Johnson on the screen meant that it was like the golden age for the Hawaiian people.
Well, as a Hawaiian, I can tell you that... We're on track.
Cool. I'm glad the conspiracy continues apace. Speaking of volcanoes, Hawaii. I mean, speaking of earthquakes, victim to many as a result of being actually made out of volcanoes.
Yep.
Be safe out there, people.
Yeah. Put together your earthquake pack. Gather your water. It's a serious, serious issue.
Explain to your loved ones how to use and where the emergency supplies are kept, and what to do in the event of a disaster.
And stay close.
It's not an issue of if so much as when.
Exactly.
Good night,
LA.